and welcome to Adapt Happy, episode 10. This is the podcast from the good people at Adapt Radar. I'm your host, John, and joining me this week, as we hit double figures, is our DeFi expert, Ilya. How's it been going?
Hello, John. It's been exciting. DeFi DeFi's never boring. Dapps are never boring.
No. So the thing we're going to talk about this week is kind of geeky, kind of a little bit technical, but kind of also pretty important. And it revolves around this kind of metric that we've all started using without perhaps thinking too deeply about it, which is TVL, total value locked. Do you want to give us a brief explanation of what TVL is and why it matters?
Right. And I think that that's kind of the important first step, is understanding what it is. So TVL is, if you unpack the name total value locked, it basically explains what it is. It talks about how many assets are locked into a particular dApp. If you think about how DeFi dApps work, a lot of it is in some form of, you know, they rely on some form of a liquidity pool or collateral. If we take, you know, Compound, for example, is a simple dApp. You know, you kind of deposit assets to be able to take a loan, or, you know, you use them as collateral, or you offer them up as a form of liquidity. But Compound on the smart contracts has a certain, you know, value of assets stored. And so TVL basically measures, you know, the value of those assets there. You know, how much is locked in Compound, how much is locked in Synthetics, how much is locked in MakerDAO, and so forth. And there's two kind of key components there, right? The amount, the kind of the numerical amount of those assets and their value in one currency or the other. If we look at kind of the kind of the top analytical tools, mostly they're measured in US dollars. And we can debate separately whether that's the right way to go. But right now, everything's measured in US dollars. So you take the amount of those coins that you have, tokens you have on there, and you multiply them by their relevant price. And that's how you arrive at TVL.
Thank you very much. So if I am going to take one ETH, let's say for want of a better pricing, $400-ish. So I'm going to take my $400 worth of ETH. I'm going to put it in MakerDAO. I'm going to get, I'm going to take 200 DAI out the other end as the stable coin. And me doing that would add $400 to the total value locked of MakerDAO. That's basically it. And so basically what we're doing, and it works really well, I guess, on a single dApp. So for something like MakerDAO, we can look at all the collateral that's been locked in there. And we can look at that. I guess it's easier for people to look at that in a dollar value, because otherwise you're going, well, you've got this amount of ETH and this amount of wrapped Bitcoin and this amount of whatever collateral there is. That gets complicated. So it makes sense, easy to understand. There's this amount of dollar value locked into MakerDAO. I guess where it becomes the next level of complexity or complexity starts is when we start considering DeFi as a kind of group of dApps. We all have this kind of talk about the DeFi Lego or composability or DeFi stack. All these terms just mean the same thing. And that basically means that a lot of these dApps, what someone does in one dApp, so I've put in my one ETH, I've got some DAI, and now I'm going to stick my DAI in another DeFi dApp. I'm going to put it in Compound and gain some interest rate. So I guess it starts getting complicated now, because all I've done is I've put in one $400 worth, and then I've got $200 at the other end, and then I'm going to take $200 and stick it in, let's say, Compound. So would that be counted? Would that be kind of counted double, or how would that work out?
No. So what would be counted double is if, and you see, kind of, there's two types of kind of DeFi dApps right now, right? There is what's called them like base level dApps that actually do activity, like Compound, MakerDAO. You put things in there, you get things out, you get some interest. And then there's kind of, let's call them management level dApps, optimizers like YEARN, that you put assets in and then they redistribute them for you in some way. Now, YEARN also, you know, has a TVL, but that TVL is kind of counted in as part of, you know, Curve and other things. And so if you counted that as part of total TVL, that would be double counting. But, you know, you get an asset out of, you know, MakerDAO and you put it in somewhere else, that's not necessarily double counting. I've seen people argue that, you know, that could be double counted, but that kind of depends on what it is that you are measuring. right? And that's strictly speaking, right now, I wouldn't consider that double counting. If you were trying to see, you know, what's the dollar value invested into the ecosystem, that's another question, right? But if you're strictly going for TVL, that's a different matter.
So that's fine. And in a sense, it does kind of make, you know, it does make kind of logical sense that I've put in some value, but I have, you know, I have, you know, particularly in the terms of MakerDAO, I have then created value in the system, because when I stick my ETH into MakerDAO, it does actually mint, it actually creates $200 worth of value of this DAI. So it has created a new thing. So that value, whatever I do with that value should be, you know, included into the general TVL of the entire, of all the dApps in the DeFi system, because, you know, they are creating value as well. It's kind of like fractional banking. I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's how kind of banks kind of create money, because people put money in and then they lend it to each other, and that kind of money is created in that way. So there is double counting, but the generalized, the general view of TVL, you know, kind of strips most of that out. And in fact, TVL has been interesting, I guess, recently, because we've had this big explosion in DeFi, particularly this kind of yield farming. And TVL actually does actually, you know, it's gone up a lot, but that actually shows how these DeFi dApps working together have created a lot of value in the system. In that sense, it is quite useful to show how this market is growing as a broad figure. Although we always know these kind of broad figures, the more general they are, the more people use them potentially in the wrong way. And I guess the problem with TVL wasn't that TVL was wrong. The problem was that this DeFi explosion has happened, and it's had a lot more. It seems to have become the main, you know, the main metric by which we're measuring things, and it, we're kind of stretching it slightly beyond what you know, it's originally designed to do, I think. So we've been looking, or you, I say we, as if I've been doing it, you have been looking for the last kind of few weeks at a better metric, which keeps the universality of what TVL does, which is helpful and good and useful, but also takes out the one of the main issues, and that is when what we've seen for the last kind of 2 months, I suppose, is the amount of value going into DeFi dApps has definitely gone up. More people are putting tokens in there because there's, you know, ability to make money and profit. But at the same time, and probably driven by that activity, we've seen a pretty explosive increase in the USD value of a lot of these tokens, and particularly on some of the DeFi tokens, we've seen, you know, thousands of percent increase. So talk us through how you've kind of come from this idea of USD measured TVL to what we're calling adjusted TVL. What's the thinking behind that, and what actually now are you measuring?
Right. So, you know, there's been a lot of research from the DappRater analytics team. There's been a lot of work, and we've published a number of articles talking about, you know, what does TVL actually matter? And I think that's where we started. What does it actually measure? And so, you know, if you start from kind of a stable environment where, you know, prices don't change very much, and you see TVL rising, then, you know, as you mentioned, it shows, you know, how the ecosystem is growing, right? But what we started noticing is that, you know, as DeFi, you know, started to pick up, prices, as you said, moved. And at that point, if you really look at what TVL is showing, you don't really know, is it the ecosystem growing, or is it just the price move that's causing this great growth? And so right now, when you look at, you know, media articles, everybody's saying, you know, we're growing, it's all fantastic. But what is it that we're actually measuring? Are we just kind of translating the fact that, you know, prices grew? And you kind of start creating this hype cycle where, you know, people look at TVL growing, so they start buying more, prices grow up, and so TVL goes up. And it's kind of a self-feeding cycle. So we wanted to take prices out of the equation, the change in prices, take that out of the equation and see how much the ecosystem is growing. How much are the kind of assets accumulating without that growth in price distorting the picture? So how we do that? We fix the price of all of the assets at 90 days prior to us looking, right? So we standardly look at a 90-day window, 3 months, a quarter. It's kind of a good window to start with. So we fix our prices, and then we recalculate TVL with that same set price for every day going forward, right? So what you end up seeing is how much have assets accumulated without, you know, that effect in price. If you take a really simple example that you started with, right? You know, let's say you submitted your one ETH, and that's kind of now the TVL of your system, and your one ETH cost $200. So your TVL was 200. Then, you know, a few days later, you know, Ethereum costs 400, TVL shows 400. Now, nothing actually changed. And now what we do is if we fix price at $200 and then we go forward and recalculate TVL, then the next, you know, in a few days, we see that, you know, TVL is still adjusted 200. Nothing actually changed. You still have just your one Ethereum. And so we fix that value. Now, it gets a little bit more complicated, right, when other people start adding Ethereum, right? So let's say, you know, you start with an example, you know, one Ethereum, and then, you know, your friend comes in and also adds an Ethereum, right? So, you know, you started with 200 TVL, and now you have two Ethereum at 400, right? So you have 800 TVL, and it looks like your TVL grew 4x, right? We take that price change out of it, right? And so we recalculate the two Ethereum at the original price of 200 at the start of the window, and it's now 400. So in reality, we see that TVL only grew 2x, right? When the kind of the inflationary, the nominal TVA is showing 4x growth. And that's something that once we recalculated for the entire kind of covered set right now, that's what we see. About 45% of the growth in TVL is because of prices moving, right? It's not that people are submitting those assets in, it's that, you know, prices moved up. For some projects like Synthetics, that accounts for over 80%, right? So it looks like that project is really growing. But what really is happening underneath is that kind of the excitement around the token is really growing. And that's a different thing, right? And it's a different dynamic, and it has different implications. Right now, people look to TVL as a sign of the growing ecosystem. Something that we've talked about is that, you know, there's a lot of raises. If you look at the news right now, right, a lot of projects are coming in and they're raising and they're looking for kind of I think users and demand in there, right? And if you look at adjusted TVL, you see that the ecosystem is still growing, right? Don't get me wrong. It's still growing. We're looking at about 3x over, you know, the last 90 days. But it's not nearly as fast as nominal TVL would have you think. And I think that that's very important. We need to understand what is actually growing, how fast is actually growing. And then we can start thinking about the actual implications. We need to kind of caution ourselves from getting super excited about numbers that look big, because the industry does have a tendency to look for big shiny numbers to kind of validate what's happening.
So it's an interesting point. So I think from my point of view, you know, I think no one's saying don't use TVL, but equally that there's kind of like use it in conjunction with another number, you know, adjusted TVL, which highlights how much of your growth is happening through the change in the USD price of these tokens. Obviously, at the moment, adjusted TVL gives you a kind of minimum growth, or, you know, a growth in tokens, and the TVL is much higher because tokens have gone up. If it would be reversed and token prices have gone down, then actually, you know, adjusted TVL will then, you know, potentially be the bigger number, because it obviously depends on what's happening to prices. So I'm just looking at our data here. So back in start of June, we had, that's the 90-day period. So adjusted TVL and TVL were the same, because obviously the point of adjusted TVL is it's a rolling 90-day kind of window. So that's we're taking 90 days here. Today we have adjusted TVL of just under $4 billion, and we have TVL of $7.3 billion. So that's, it's kind of showing, getting on for not quite a half, trying to do the maths, 75%-ish of the growth of TVL has happened because of the increase in token value. And it's, as you say, it's interesting to also then kind of look in more detail at some of the individual dApps. So under adjusted TVL, the biggest dApp, or the dApp with the most value locked in, is actually Curve, which is the kind of stablecoin-based AMM. And obviously the reason for that is stable coins don't go up in value. So the fact that 75% of Curve's value comes from stable coins means that adjusted TVL and TVL are very broadly the same. Whereas, as you say, something like synthetics, as you mentioned, the TVL now is $940 million, so almost $1 billion. But if we have the adjusted TVL, that takes out the increase of the synthetic token, we're down at $110 million. So pretty substantial difference between that. I think it's interesting, and I think we're always what we want is to use metrics. Obviously, we want to use metrics that make logical sense. But equally, any metric in any kind of a system, a business system or financial system, can be overused. And we've seen that, I guess, with the ridiculous levels people take technical analysis of different stock prices to, where you kind of go, just because you've got a number doesn't mean it works. It's supposed to work in a certain kind of level. And I guess we're seeing that kind of maturing, I guess, in the DeFi space at the moment, and I think that's important for people to understand kind of what's going on and why it's going on, and have different metrics to be able to better understand what's happening.
Yeah, and I think that there's a really important point that you made a little bit earlier, is that these metrics need to be used in conjunction, right? Whichever metric, it's not, like you said, it's not that TVL necessarily is a bad metric. It's that on its own, it shows somewhat of a distorted view. Similarly, like you said, if prices start to fall, TVL will start to look like panic time, when it doesn't necessarily mean so based on how assets are moving within the project ecosystem. It's important to kind of have a more holistic view of what is happening, and this is our approach at DappRadar, where we, we're introducing metrics that kind of fill in that picture. And I think that's why, pretty early on, we wanted to add unique active wallets, because, you get to see a little bit more of that activity, right? And so, for example, right now, you get to see, that big difference in TVL, but you also get to see that, unique active wallets are plateauing a little bit in August, right? So when some headlines are suggesting that we're in a boom, right? Potentially we see a little bit of an exhaustion in the market, right? Perhaps there, are we getting too many dApps right now, right? Are there enough users for all those dApps? So it's important, and there are other metrics that we will be introducing to kind of give a more comprehensive view, and that's something that's very important. Adjusted TVL is created to kind of give a more complete picture and not replace TVL altogether.
No, absolutely, yeah. And it is interesting that looking at the kind of the unique wallets, it does show a fairly big rise. So looking at the same, we're looking at about 4,000 unique wallets daily at the end of May. Up to a peak of about 25,000 in mid-August, and now we're down to just under 21,000. So it does suggest again that people have kind of ridden the rocket up now, and hopefully I always kind of think if you use the numbers as kind of dropping off, that means kind of your bubble deflates somewhat gracefully rather than price token price deflating rather rapidly and then crashing everything. But we'll maybe leave that for another podcast, I think.
The one thing that that could be interesting to see if those users are moving towards aggregator or optimizer dApps, right? So is this kind of drop off because retail users are starting to use more InstaDApp and YRN and things like that, and that could also explain that change.
Good. Well, I think that's sufficient numbers and data and analysis for this week. Thank you very much for your time, as ever, Ilya.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to our podcast. Every week we are delving into the world of dApps. I'm spending a lot of time on DeFi at the moment because that's where the activity is, but also covering games and high risk and gambling and social and all the different things that are being built on these blockchains that have been created, and lots more blockchains coming out as well. So I guess we should be covering those in future weeks. So please do subscribe. We're available through your podcast channel of choice. But thanks for listening, and hope to see you next week.